This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Studios on the campus of the University of Common Sense in the Big Easy, the professor of thinkology and a man dedicated to truth and common sense. America, class is in session right here, right now, with your host, Jim Brown.
Hey, hello there. Welcome to your Labor Day weekend. We're sure glad you're joining us here on the Common Sense Show as we've had a nice Labor Day, my family and I hope you have too, wherever you have to live, from up in Fairbanks, Alaska, to Banning, California, to Atlantic City, New Jersey, coast to coast. Hope it's going well for you. We're still bailing out of all the high water down here in the deepest of the deep southern states in Louisiana because of all the flooding, and there are probably 200,000 homes that are having to be rebuilt and gutted so people have their hands full. They won't be doing much barbecuing this weekend down here because they have so much to do in terms of flood cleanup. But many other folks will try to kick back with the family, take an extra day off, maybe barbecuing, movie watching. What's your priority? Are you barbecuing or movie watching? I saw a national survey that 214 million Americans, 67% of the population, plan to fire up the grill this year, while 36%, about 115 million Americans, plan to watch a movie in the theater or at home. So Labor Day activities, a little quiet time, getting out a little bit, maybe attending a Labor Day party, a little shopping. And then, of course, you got to go out and eat. What, do you like hamburgers or hot dogs? What do you think most Americans like? 70% of American barbecue goers expect to bite into a juicy burger compared to about 51% hot dogs. The nutrient barbecue chicken, and I love barbecue chicken. I don't do it very well, but our family's got some good cooks, and so barbecue chicken kind of edges out steaks and ribs. Barbecue chicken, about 40% of those who enjoy barbecuing. Steaks, 37%. Ribs, only 32% on Labor Day place. I thought ribs would be more than that. We got so many great rib eaters. Maybe that's more conducive to the South, but we're big rib eaters down in this part of the country. And for all you beer drinkers, by the way, here's a little tip for you. 44, when you talk about what you're going to drink, big majority of beer drinkers will drink ice cold domestic beer, while only 44% say domestic beer, 22% will drink imported beer. And what they say is that domestic beer drinkers are a little bit more friendly, a little bit more genuine, a little bit more approachable, is the idea. So if you're a snob, you drink the Heineken or the imported stuff, the beer from South America, wherever it happens, it comes by. Where if you're more congenial and everything like that, you domestic beer, so the polls show. Barbecue loves South versus Midwest. Surprising, Eastern states have the highest percentage of Labor Day barbecue plans, some 70%. Down the South at 65%, Midwest about 63%, and in Louisiana, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, it's virtually nil because of all the flood cleanup going on down here in this part of the country. I love Labor Day weekend. It's the kickoff of what I think, quite frankly, should be the new year. I don't know why they picked to go with January the 1st as the new year. January the 1st just doesn't work. You're recovering from the Christmas holidays. You know, you spend a lot of money. You're tired. You've done so much already. And you kick off for New Year's Eve. I propose we ought to kick off the new year on this Labor Day weekend, on whatever the 1st of September, the 6th, whatever Labor Day is. Let's make that the new year. Look, it's the beginning, isn't it? It's the beginning of fall. You've got a little scent of fall in the weather. That bitter sun's not quite as much as it was through this hot, hot summer this year. It's the beginning of football season. We've got a great football season geared up. Already games are being played, but this is the beginning of football season. You got the beginning of school. The kids are all back in school, whether the college, high school, whatever they happen to go. It's the beginning of lots of interesting things. Why do we have New Year's on January the 1st? I think that's a bad idea. I think we'll start a whole new program right here on the Common Sense Show of pushing to change the date of New Year. Do you think we got a chance in that? I don't know, but we'll sure as well could try, because I think January the 1st, too busy, and you're tired out. You want to kick off the New Year full of vim and vigor and not be beat down like you generally are the 4th of July, rather the 1st of January after big Christmas holiday. Did you take a vacation this year? I didn't do what I normally do. The year's not over yet. Most people aren't taking vacations like they used to. I saw that Expedia.com did an annual survey, found that only 14% of Americans go away for at least 2 weeks. They just don't do so. And there's a number of reasons. School begins the middle of August. In the middle of August, aren't air conditioning bills for schools much higher then? What happened to June 1st to August, rather to September the 1st, where you went for till about Labor Day, then you started school? Some of the East Coast starts then, but this early starting time. Now, down here, I asked somebody, a superintendent, why they started so early. He said, well, we've got hurricanes down here, and the law says you've got to attend school for so many days, and if you've got a hurricane hits, then you're delayed, so you may lose 5 or 10 days of school per year. Well, we don't have hurricanes that often down here. I like the idea of going from June through August, and then school start in September. And I think it's great for family, and despite the coordination for schools, I think it's great for families just to get away. You know, I always joined our family excursions at summer end. And we didn't have the electronic requiem involved with cell phones, didn't have laptops, nothing like that. I know in early summer, you folks up in Michigan, my family went up to Lake Michigan, and we stayed there for a good bit of the summer. And it was Lake George in New York when I was in college. I was up at a summer camp in Lake George, beautiful part of the world, in the summer. And then for the last 55, 60 years, I've spent summer vacations in Gulf Shores, Alabama, Perdido Key, Florida, right in the Redneck Riviera, if you will. And now we've got high rises there, and there's all kinds of competition with the kids' attention. They got the water world, they got the putt-putt golf, and they got the game rooms. When I was going down there, my kids turned out to be pretty well. We didn't have all that competition. What happened when I was taking my kids down there? We just had a few local seafood restaurants, single beach houses, long porches facing the Gulf. No local telephone service back then. You had to bring your own drinking water in. We brought our own sheets and towels. The water well was full of iron, and so you didn't shower too much there. The wash turned out gray, so you took them to a local laundry to be washed is what you did. But you know what? It was a wonderful summer vacation. We hung around the beach. We read a little bit, built sandcastles, crabbing, and everybody had a wonderful time. Well, we just don't do that as much anymore. We get away. Now, if you go to the beach, it's the air-conditioned high-rise condo you go to, and I'd like to see us get back to a solid summer vacation. I hope you could do so, too. But maybe you can't. Maybe your business just doesn't know. Well, we can always find a reason why we can't. I think it's very important for your kids, quite frankly. Somebody texted me here. I mentioned something about this a few weeks ago. They said, let me tell you about my vacations. My vacations are when I spend thousands of dollars to see what rain looks like in different parts of the world. Well, hope that doesn't happen to you. But there is a question about summer vacation. Yeah, I'll tell you what, we're going to talk a little bit about health later on the show. The one weakness I have, there's a great donut shop, one of the early Krispy Kreme donut shops over Perdido Key, Florida, where I vacation. I don't eat donuts through the rest of the year. I love them, but they're just not too healthy for me as an old guy my age. But I go to the Krispy Kreme retail store in Perdido Key, in that part of the country, and the choices are unbelievable there. You've got glazed chocolate ice custard-filled donuts. You've got raspberry-filled, lemon-filled, maple-glazed, sugar-coated cinnamon bun, cinnamon twist. I could go on and on and on with you. Nothing like a good Krispy Kreme donut. My friend writer Rick Bragg down in this part of the country tried to explain how good Krispy Kremes are to someone. He said it's tough to explain to someone who's never had one. It's like telling a celibate priest about young love. Well, he knew what he was talking about. Jim Brown here on the Common Sense Show. My website, www.jimbrownusa.com. Freshen up your coffee. We got a lively Labor Day show, so we'll be right back to make some more Common Sense.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com. Working on a home or residential painting project? Then there's only one name you need to know, PPG. PPG has earned the respect of professionals and homeowners alike because we combine the latest paint technology with expertise and knowledgeable service. PPG offers a broad range of primers, paints, stains, and specialty products to meet all your needs. Available at either our PPG Pittsburgh Paints or PPG Porter Paints Company-owned store or independent dealer locations throughout the U.S. Each PPG product comes with the customized service you deserve to make sure you get the right fit for the job. And choosing colors has never been easier thanks to the PPG Voice of Color system that helps users discover colors that match their personality. So for the best quality products, excellent service, easy-to-use color tools, and great results, visit your local PPG Pittsburgh Paints or PPG Porter Paints location today.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back. Because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-954-9674. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now, 1-800-954-9674. That's 1-800-954-9674. 1-800-954-9674.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention prescription antibiotic drug users. Have you or a loved one suffered an aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm after taking the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox? These popular antibiotic drugs have been prescribed more than 80 million times since 2004, and medical studies show an increased risk of the following injuries. Aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, and abdominal aortic aneurysm. If you or a loved one use the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox and suffered from aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851.
All of us want to stay healthy, particularly as we grow older. I work out and try to watch what I eat, but you need more. You need a vitamin supplement to give you that extra energy and to help keep your weight down. My solution? I use Youngevity vitamins and minerals to keep me in good health. They're easy to take, and the power drinks, for me, really taste good. Hey, give them a try. Go to my website at jimbrownhealth.com. That's jimbrownhealth.com. You'll be glad you did.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
A lot of controversy all over the country about this San Francisco 49ers quarterback, Colin Kaepernick, who refused to stand for the national anthem. Now, Kaepernick signed a $114 million six-year contract. $114 million the guy makes. He's biracial, raised by white parents, and was a good athlete, kind of had a pretty great life for the American dream, a blessed life, if you will. But he says he's making a statement by not standing for the national anthem. And look, I've found ways over the years to make statements in my own way when I feel someone's been oppressed, in my family, even myself. I've found ways to share my protest. I've done it on Facebook. I've done it in columns I write. I've done it here in this radio show. But when you're before a national televised audience, plus probably 80,000 people in the stands, is that the time for every other athlete to stand for the national anthem? He was protesting the racial equality in this country, his concern about Black Lives Matter. It was interesting that about 70% of the entire NFL is African American, and they all stood. They all stood. In the NBA, by the way, it is a league rule where you can't play in the NBA unless you stand for the national anthem. They don't have that in the National Football League. So he refuses to stand, and you got to pass judgment on him. I think there's a time and place for your protest. I don't think in front of hundreds of millions of people, and I guess that's the biggest audience. But I'm not, you know, because, and then there's ways to express yourself. But when you're playing the national anthem, it's more than just a flag wing or more than just a song. It's a reflection of no matter how many problems we have in this country, we tend to move forward and find ways to bring about some kind of closure compared to the Middle East. You know, you certainly would never sit down if you lived in the Middle East because all the oppression of freedoms over in that part of the world and in many parts of the world. There's no more freedoms you need to find right here in the United States. And then I thought it was interesting at a recent football game, Marine Sergeant Zachary Stenson of Pennsylvania. He can't stand very easily because he had one of these bombs in Afghanistan, blew both his legs off and one of his hands. So when they play the national anthem, Marine Sergeant Zachary Stenson takes the one hand he has and he uses all of his strength, and it takes him about a minute, but he pushes himself up so that he can stand when the Star Spangled Banner is played. And he says he does so because it's a way of honoring all those servicemen. You see, there are hundreds of thousands of servicemen all over the world who are protecting and laying the foundation so that Colin Kaepernick can make his millions and millions of dollars and play in this world. He didn't make serve in the service. I hope he volunteered in some way. But they're protecting his freedom to play, you see. And yet they consider that, those soldiers, and I consider that, I think a lot of people consider that somewhat of a slap in the face. Pick your fights. Pick and choose where you do your protesting. I don't think you do it at a football game. There's also a senior airman, Brian Colfridge. Brian, here's what Brian says. He wrote this on his Facebook page. I think it's interesting for you to hear. He said he sent a note to Colin Kaepernick. He says, here's what the sergeant said, or the airman said. I lost my legs and arm fighting in the U.S. military, the same military I took an oath to defend our nation and flag from enemies, foreign and domestic. Next time I hear the national anthem, I'll be sure to stand for the both of us. Since you feel you've been oppressed, I'll stand for you. We live in America, the land where no one is truly oppressed in the grand scheme of things. If you want to see the real meaning of oppressed, I suggest you enlist in the military and travel abroad to the Middle East, where you will witness what oppression is, where women are beaten and killed in honor, and if they are raped, they still are beaten and killed, where six-year-old girls are forced to marry men in their 60s. That's just a little taste of what oppression is. You know nothing of what oppression is. Every American has a choice, every opportunity to better their lives. This is America, the greatest country on the planet. That is by senior airman Brian Colfridge, who lost two arms, or the two legs and an arm, and who fights desperately to stand up when they play the national anthem. So everyone's got to make their own decision. I think some people applauded Kaepernick for what he did. The majority of the people booed him. He's going to lose money. I don't care. You're making $116 million. You don't care about losing some money. But you've got to pick and choose what you do. And that's what he chose to do. And I think it was a huge mistake. Pick and choose your fights. And he decided to go a different direction in doing that very thing. I saw an article in the paper this week. This is not a big hot story that's going to get y'all enraged. But the federal government, the Department of Transportation, and the National Highway Safety Administration are all considering lowering the speed limit for trucks 60 or 65 miles an hour. Look, down in my state, I-10 is the busiest interstate in all of America going from California all the way to the East Coast. When you cross the bridge into my hometown of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, one lane. It's an interstate, only place in America where there's one lane because of the way the bridge funnels down into a very narrow area. It's going to cost millions and millions of dollars to fix that. And they're talking about it right now. But they're trying to standardize the speed limit. And you know, trucks have got to make a living. They're trying to get across to deliver goods to you and I. I think it depends on the roadway. I think you got to use some common sense of what you do. If you're going out west on highways where that are very little traveled, good highways, good interstates, then probably 75 makes more sense. I don't think a truck ought to go 80. There are just too much out of control situations in a case like that. But to standardize and say it's going to be 60 all across the country, I think that slows down commerce directly. And that can be a safety factor because you're out west, you're in Wyoming, you're listening to us up in Montana. We've got a lot of listeners up in that part of the world. Well, then, you know, someone's going along in 75 at night, and they're a little tired, and they plow right into the back of a truck that has to go 60. So there's several sides of that story, and I think you look at the roadways and make a roadway by roadway determination. That makes it tough for the driver, quite frankly. You got to really pay attention. So, you know, you got these school zones that pop up, and in a busy area, they're hard to see. You know, you think you're in the school, mother, you think you're going along at 40 miles an hour, and all of a sudden, bomb, there's a school zone, but it is right in the middle of Kentucky Fried Chicken signs and Wendy's signs and everything else. They're hard to see. So you got to pay attention when the speed limit drops. But I think to routinely cap all trucks at 60, that could be a danger to drivers. And in some roads, that would be way too low. In my state, down where I live, 65 at maximum should be. And then, you know, it's just not putting the speed limit up there. It's enforcing the speed limit. I drive from down to New Orleans often on an interstate, and I go maybe 3 miles over the speed limit, 73, 74. And when I do that, it's like I'm on some speedway. Virtually every car on the highway passed me. Hundreds of cars passed me. Big trucks passed me. I'm going 73 miles an hour, and they roar by. So not only do you need to have a reasonable speed limit, you got to enforce that speed limit. And for a variety of reasons, some states don't enforce it as much as others. I mean, they get an income from it. They write you a ticket. The money goes somewhere. And so in any event, I just share that with you because that's on the front burner of the federal government going to regulate speed limits or considering regulating speed limits. Coming back with our first guest, something you didn't know about World War II, I'm going to tempt you with it. The atomic bomb, where did all of the enriched radium...
Common sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves. Home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never not once been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
Not too long ago, we had a major anniversary for the dropping of the atomic bomb on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. There was a lot of press about the thing, and certainly a lot of interest as to why we dropped that bomb. There's also a backstory about how the atomic bomb was created. How do you discover the uranium, and how did you even come up with the idea of creating a bomb that was thousands of times more devastating than the regular bombs that were being dropped? Interesting new book about this very thing is called Critical Mass, How Nazi Germany Surrendered Enriched Uranium for the United States Atomic Bomb. Nazi Germany, I didn't think it had anything to do with Nazi Germany. The author is Carter Heydrich. He's written a lot about and studied a lot about atomic energy and the bomb itself. He's a researcher. And a fascinating story in the book about a U-2 boat that had a direct effect on the Manhattan Project that developed this bomb. Hey, Carter. Welcome to the Common Sense Show. Glad you joined us here today.
Thank you. It's great to be invited. I appreciate the opportunity.
Now, let me ask you this. You know, when you talk about the atomic bomb, everybody knows it was dropped in Japan, Nagasaki, Hiroshima. I said there, we've commemorated that recently. You've never heard any discussions about, now we all knew that scientists in Germany, and there's some very bright scientists that we captured after the war, but you didn't, most people don't equate Nazi Germany with the development of the atomic bomb, and yet there's a story you're telling about Germany developing their own uranium for this very purpose. Give us an idea about the focus of your book and what you concluded after doing all your research.
Okay, as you said, the traditional history kind of thinks or has been that the United States alone, with some help from some European immigrants who escaped from Nazi Germany, came to the United States and worked at the Manhattan Project and created the two bombs that were dropped, one on Hiroshima, which was a uranium bomb, and one on Nagasaki, which was a plutonium bomb. I make the distinction because there's two ways to make an atomic bomb, and the traditional history says that the United States thought we were in an arms race with Germany until after the war, when they found out that Germany wasn't really successful creating anything close to a bomb. And they say that because the Germans failed to create a plutonium bomb. They made a mistake in their calculations and used a different moderator. I won't go into the technicalities, but the whole story has been that the Germans failed to properly create a plutonium bomb. But they never say anything about the fact that the Germans had a very serious uranium enrichment process, and that's how you make a uranium bomb, which was the kind of bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima.
And let me ask you this, Carter. To the average listener out there, they don't know the difference between plutonium and uranium. Can you give some simple general explanation of why there's a difference in the two bombs and the two materials and how you create those materials? What's the difference between plutonium and uranium?
Yeah, very simply, uranium is the largest natural atom on Earth, and when it's constructed in a certain form with a certain number, they call them isotopes. You have different isotopes of atoms. When it's constructed with a particular number of neutrons, it changes the characteristics of how it's built, and when you get an isotope called U-235, it's very unstable. And if you can hit it with a fast neutron, you can hit it with a neutron, it will actually start a chain reaction, which starts the explosion.
Right.
So, and then plutonium used to exist in nature, but it doesn't anymore because it was even more unstable than that U-235, and so it kind of disintegrated on its own over the course of time. Well, some scientists looked at the natural uranium and said, you know, if we can get the uranium to collect neutrons, it will build into a new substance called plutonium, and that will be unstable, and we can use that as well.
Right, I see. And again, that's difficult stuff for the average listener, but we'll pick up on what you were talking about, what effect the Germans had on the atomic bomb. I mean, we always heard that they were trying to build one. You say they weren't successful, but how did we benefit in America by the activities of the Germans in putting our bomb together?
Well, actually, the traditional history says they weren't successful. I say they were successful enriching uranium. And that uranium was surrendered to the United States right at the end of the war under negotiations with some of Hitler's top leaders in a U-boat called U-234. Now, the traditional history talks about U-234. It does say that it did exist. It's kind of a byline of history. It does say that it surrendered. It does say that there was 560 kilograms of uranium on the U-boat, but the traditional history says that uranium was natural uranium. It wasn't able to be used in a bomb, and we didn't get it in time. There's no proof that it went into the Manhattan Project and that we didn't get it in time, even if it did, to make a bomb. And the crux, really the center of my research, is to show that that uranium was in fact enriched. It was labeled. The chief radio officer of U-234 witnessed it being labeled by the two Japanese officers who were responsible for going with it, making sure it got to Japan, as U-235. It's a little confusing because the U-boat was U-234. The isotope of enriched uranium is U-235. So they're
right.
Kind of sequential, so don't get them confused. But
why did you say the Japanese, a Japanese escort took place? Now, at this point, I thought it was Germans involved at this point.
Well, it was Germans who enriched it, but the Germans, toward the end of the war, they realized we're not going to be able to deliver this bomb. They had the makings for the bomb, the enriched uranium. Triggering it would have been easy, but they didn't have a way to deliver it. They lost superiority in the skies, and so it was a very expensive strategic level of weapon with a $2 billion investment and the idea of risking it to try and get it to a target that they probably weren't going to get it to wasn't something they wanted to try and do. They decided not to do that. So their original decision was, well, we'll deal it to Japan. They had a technology exchange. Actually, Japan paid for it. And they put it on the U-boat to send it to Japan. But behind the scenes, at a very high level, it was negotiated to come to the United States instead. And that, and I talk about that in the book, and that's what I believe happened, and what I think the evidence shows actually happened. So that's how
story.
Japan is in there, and that's why there was two officers. Their responsibility was to make sure it gets to Japan. Well, when they realized the U-boat wasn't going to go to Japan, it was going to surrender to the United States, they actually committed suicide on the U-boat and were buried at sea. And that's part of the traditional history, too.
Right. Well, I guess, so what is your conclusion? Did some of that uranium ever make it into the American atomic bomb?
My conclusion is that it definitely did. I actually, and it's not just my conclusion, there's a gentleman by the name of Dr. Delmar Bergen. He is retired now, but he was the director of nuclear weapons at Los Alamos National Laboratory. Los Alamos is where our bombs were designed, and the experiments were created, to make them successful. Dr. Bergen has looked at the information that I reveal about how the from U.S. Navy documentation talks about how it was the uranium was stored. It was stored in gold-lined cylinders. It was they said to handle it when you open it. It's sensitive and dangerous. Said it should be handled like crude TNT. None of those are relevant to natural uranium. All of those are relevant to enriched uranium. Besides the fact it was actually labeled U-235, and Dr. Bergen has gone public and said this uranium was enriched uranium that the Germans had on U-234. And besides that, he's actually, in this third edition of my book, he's actually written the foreword to it to support that.
Right.
and to support other things.
Well, it's a fascinating story. The book is called Critical Mass. You can find it on our website at jimbrownusa.com, creating a lot of interest. Hey, Carter, we've got a tight window today. We'd like to have you back again and talk some more. Good luck on the book.
Let's do it. Thank you. I appreciate it.
We'll be right back after this message.
Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GC.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly, certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Do you ever feel like you're being watched? Like someone or some company is tracking your every move online? I know I do. That's why I trust Private Internet Access VPN to keep me safe when I'm online. I use it to encrypt my traffic and use an anonymous IP address. Private Internet Access keeps your internet traffic safe from unwanted eyes so you can finally feel safe. $40 a year for peace of mind is a no-brainer. Sign up today at privateinternetaccess.com. Once again, that's privateinternetaccess.com.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD, and if untreated, could lead to blindness. The good news? AMD can be managed with effective clinically approved treatments that may reverse some vision loss. For free AMD information, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. There is a cure in sight.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
Some interesting information has recently come out about what you eat and the effect it has on your heart and on your body in general. Now, you know, a lot of people, once they get 45 or 50, start taking statins. Crestor, for example, Lipitor. There's a number of statins out there that supposedly reduce the density of your blood, let your blood flow a little better, and keep you from getting a heart attack. And I've taken statins not a long time. Probably for 10, 12 years I've taken them. And there's some side effects to the statins, quite frankly, for various people. One for me was that my legs got so tired. I just felt like I was worn out, particularly below the waist all the time. And I just didn't feel like jogging or walking too much. Just made me so darn tired. And one of the doctors says, well, you just got to trade off. You want to live a longer life and let your heart pump well, or do you want to be able to have lots more energy in your legs as well? That's not a trade-off I want to do. So we experiment a little bit, and I'm on Crestor three times a week. I take it Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. But I'm in really good shape in terms of blood pressure, and my cholesterol levels are all down to normal of someone who's 35 or so. Now, I do exercise a lot, but one of the keys, I believe, has been the Mediterranean diet. If you don't know about the Mediterranean diet, it's how people eat in the Mediterranean. You know, they eat a lot of fish. They use olive oil. They don't use butter so much. They use olive oil, though, on everything they use. So it doesn't have quite the saturated fat. Very heavily involved in fruits and vegetables and nuts. And the feeling has always been that protects your heart. Well, there's a new study out that's come out by a number of different groups that kind of back that up, quite frankly, and show that the Mediterranean diet really does a great deal in helping to stop some of the early heart problems, diabetes, and even cancer. And so I just mentioned that to you because a lot of you folks listen, send me notes about your health, and National Health Service and a variety of most of the study was taking place in Europe, quite frankly, the studies that just came out. But the British Heart Foundation agreed with it and came out and said that there's overwhelming evidence that a Mediterranean diet makes a big, big difference. Now, lifestyle has a lot to do with it. If you got too much pressure on you, that's going to have an effect on your cardiovascular system. There's no doubt about that. I think you and I know that. But what you eat is very, very important, particularly if you don't want to jam too many drugs inside you. And so I'd take a little time and think about that. It's just basically common sense. It's the same. If you get into it, it's basically the same diet outside. They emphasize olive oil a lot more. But, you know, you're not supposed to eat too much fish. I've kind of backed off of, too much meat. I've kind of backed off of meat altogether, quite frankly. Not so much I love the taste of a really good filet, but it just sits heavy in my stomach when I have meat because I don't eat it that much. So I'll eat sushi. I'll eat chicken, eat a good bit of chicken, and I do love fish. And, of course, we're very spoiled down where I live in the deepest of the deep southern states down here in Louisiana because we've got redfish and speckled trout and pompano and flounder and all this wonderful, tasty fish. And so often, the fishermen catch it in the morning. We eat it that afternoon. Redfish comes back in off the dock, and maybe a day is all it's there. It's not frozen. Doesn't travel for a week like so much of the fish does in other parts of the country. So it's very tasty, I guess, is the point I'm making. But there's no doubt about the fact that heavy on vegetables and using olive oil instead of butter in everything you do, lots of nuts, and then, little chicken and lots of fish go a long way in giving you a heartier health. Now, you got to balance all that with a little exercise. Everybody's got a theory on exercise. I just enjoy exercise, and I do a little bit more than maybe most people my age do. But if you just get out in the morning and take a walk, take your spouse with you, and you folks just go out and take a nice walk around the neighborhood, that makes a big difference. There's a group in my neighborhood. I'm not an early morning exerciser. I like to exercise midday to late afternoon. That's when it works better for me. I'm kind of a grouch when I wake up in the morning. I stumble out of bed and walk down the driveway to pick up my papers, read my morning papers. That's kind of my little routine that I take on. But when I walk down to get the papers at the end of the driveway, there are a number of groups that are out walking. I pass them, wave at them. My next-door neighbor walks. People over in my neighborhood walk early in the morning, and they walk with friends. They all meet up so they can kind of motivate each other, and they walk all around the neighborhood. It's a great time. I wish I could do that early in the morning. I go to a local health club, and that's a good motivation for me, by the way. I'm the old guy there, mostly young guys and gals that are pumping iron and grunting a good bit, dropping those weights. It motivates me. My routine is I go there and I get on a recumbent bike for about 45 minutes and I kind of read. I read the papers or read a book, something along that line, really get the blood pumping up and getting the blood flowing. Then I'll lie down and stretch. I'll reach over my neck and I'll stretch. I do a whole series of stretches. There's so many stretch books, and I'll do that and stretch real good. Then I'm lucky to have a handball court, and I'll shoot a few baskets and maybe take a racquetball and hit against the wall, kind of loosen me up a little bit more. Then I'll do some reasonable weights. I don't do a lot of weights. A little older, I don't want to have any muscle injury. But maybe for 30 minutes, I'll lift a sets of 12 reps for three times, and I'll make my weights go up, I'll pull down, and I'll go sideways. And I'll do a little with my back and work on my stomach. That's tough as you get older. I don't care what you do. I don't do anything different in terms of diet and exercise than I did 15 years ago. But you get that belly on you, you know, the little bit of sweetness. If you try that cookie or cake or something, just stays around a lot longer as you get a little older. That's just a fact of life for men and women both. So to deal with that, you've got to cut back a little bit more on that kind of food that builds up the sweets and the fat. And you got to exercise a little bit more. So I do crunches on a ball. I do some lifts with my my stomach. I do three or four things to help me with my stomach. And I try to do that, say, 3 to 4 times a week. And then I swim another couple of times a week. That's kind of my routine. But again, that Mediterranean diet is the key. And then walking in the neighborhood, something along that line, makes a big, big difference. So I just share that with you because that new study came out saying that statins, if you get up to a level where your cholesterol is really building, then statins are going to help you. But there are risks to statins, and I told you my risk of all the numbness, but just the fatigue that I experienced, cut down to 3 times a week, and then really upped that Mediterranean diet. I love cheese. I've got to back off the cheese. I kind of back off of dairy. I hate to do that. I really love cheese. But I back off the dairy. And if I have to have some dairy occasionally, the bowl of cereal, and what I'll do is I'll put almond milk. I'll put unsweetened almond milk in there, which I like. It's okay. And let me tell you about my breakfast. I'm real high on my breakfast. Just to give some suggestions, because so many of you email me and ask about this thing. What can you do? I found out fine for breakfast. I eat kind of a morning smoothie, but I make it myself. I put about 3 different kinds of fruit. I'll put a banana. I'll cut up an apple. I'll put some grapes or maybe some blueberries that are really good for you. Put that there, put a scoop of yogurt in there. Then I go to Costco or Sam's or to your Rite Aid or to Whole Foods, wherever you happen to shop, and you can find some flaxseed that's good for your heart. You can find a general protein powder, a low-fat protein powder. I put some chai seed in there. I put a little oatmeal, some steel-cut oats in there and put that in the blender. Put 4 or 5 little herbs and spices like that. Put it in the blender, pop that button, put a little ice to make it chilled, and it fills me up. I'm filled up for 4 hours or so. Wonderful breakfast blend. So anyway, I shared that with you since that Mediterranean diet came out. Give that a try. And, you know, one way to do it is go to a Lebanese restaurant. We got them springing up all over the country. You've got a number here where I live in New Orleans and Baton Rouge. And wherever you live, you got a Lebanese restaurant. And you go get the special chicken or the gyros stay away from the baklava. I call it the baklava, which is a sweet that I OD'd on when I was younger, ate so much of it. But in any event, if you go there and try the choices, say, what are the different? Give me a vegetable plate. Sure. If you go with another couple, well, everybody order something different and get a general vegetable plate so you can try the rolled grape leaves and you can try the moussaka and the jadra and you can try some, the eggplant. I love the eggplant that I usually order. And just see what you like and see what you don't like. You'll get a taste for it. Very healthy, low fat. A huge plus for you. So, Mediterranean diet. And I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll put up this week, my website's jimbrownusa.com. I'll put up my whole diet and exercise routine on the website. There'll be a link on there. Again, that's jimbrownusa.com. If you want to build that diet and kind of help make yourself get a little healthy. I want to live a long life. I know you do too. A combination of just good common sense of what you do, cutting back as you get older, don't eat quite as much, pick and choose your foods, exercise, and you're going to live a long and happy life. I'm trying to, and I know you do too. Hey, we're going to take a break right now. Jim Brown here on the Common Sense Show. Again, that website, www.jimbrownusa.com. Freshen up your coffee, and I'll be right back to make some more common sense.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GC.
The most recognizable name in all of home improvement radio, the Cajun contractor Michael King, host of Home Talk USA, is now available for your next speaking engagement. That's right. You can have one of the most exciting, energetic personalities on the radio today speak at your next function. If your trade organization or company needs a qualified speaker to talk about home improvement products, technologies, and services, even the current state of your industry, please give him a call today. The Cajun contractor Michael King is a qualified, license-tested contractor with an extensive knowledge of home improvement construction and repairs, and is regarded by his peers as one of the top experts in his field and the home improvement industry in general. His keen sense of humor and entertaining delivery will really make your next function one to remember. Call the Cajun contractor Michael King today at 985-641-3730. That's 985-641-3730. 985-641-3730. Michael King at HometalkMedia.com. 985-641-3730. Michael King at HometalkMedia.com. C'est le bon temps roulé. Let the good times roll.
This is David Cordani, CEO of Cigna. For more than 20 years, Cigna has worked with the March of Dimes to address premature births in the U.S. Premature births cause horrible suffering and cost billions of dollars each year. That's why Cigna is committed to raising funds and awareness through our employees, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies. Please join us in supporting the March for Babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro-1 G2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.